A mother watches her newly adopted 8-year-old son deliberately smash every new toy she's given him. A father can't understand why his daughter hoards crackers under her bed despite 3 meals a day. These aren't acts of defiance. They're desperate attempts at communication from children whose early worlds taught them that adults can't be trusted. What looks like willful destruction or bizarre behavior is actually a complex language of fear, and most parents don't have the decoder ring. Here's what makes parenting children from hard places so different. Traditional discipline assumes kids started life in safety. It assumes babies were held when they cried, fed when hungry, and comforted when scared. But children who spent their earliest months in orphanages, abusive homes, or revolving foster placements learned something else entirely, that adults are unpredictable at best and dangerous at worst. Their brains literally wired differently in response to chaos and neglect. Telling these children to just behave is like asking someone to speak French when they only learned Mandarin. The foundation isn't there. The revolutionary insight here is that these children need something entirely different from conventional parenting. They need what they missed, the sensory bath of nurturing that typically happens in infancy, the hundreds of small moments that teach a baby the world is safe, and they need it now, whether they're 5 or 15. That child hoarding food? She's not being greedy. Her primitive brain still believes starvation is around the corner because she went hungry for the first 3 years of life. The boy who explodes when accidentally bumped in the hallway isn't overreacting. His sensory system interprets casual touch as an attack. What we call behavioral problems are actually sophisticated survival strategies that once kept these children alive. A single traumatized child might simultaneously have the trust needs of an infant, the independence drive of a toddler, the shame responses of a 3-year-old, and the street smarts of a teenager, all crammed into one body. Their development looks less like a ladder and more like a patchwork quilt. Fear drives most of what we label as bad behavior. Some children externalize it through aggression and hyperactivity. They become human tornadoes. Others internalize it, becoming eerily compliant or withdrawn. Both responses stem from the same source, a nervous system stuck in permanent high alert. A mother's womb is a developing baby's first environment, and conditions there matter profoundly. Maternal stress, poor nutrition, alcohol, and drug exposure all impair brain development and double the risk of cognitive delays. These aren't moral failings, they're biological realities. In ideal circumstances, newborns experience a sensory bath, nurturing physical contact, feeding, emotional bonding, warmth, and soothing sounds. Through matching, where mother and child synchronize their behaviors, babies learn social connection and develop secure attachment. These daily interactions literally build brain architecture. But research reveals something chilling. Isolation damages infant development even more than mistreatment, preventing proper brain development and diminishing the ability to concentrate, control emotions, think logically, and process social cues. 6-year-old Janie's mother repeated, "You're safe now," endlessly, but Janie still panicked when denied a snack before dinner. Her orphanage hunger had encoded a visceral equation. No food now equals starvation later. Words couldn't override that terror. But letting her hold a snack bar until after dinner created felt safety, the difference between intellectual knowledge and embodied trust. When children feel threatened, their primitive survival brain hijacks everything. The parts responsible for learning, reasoning, and emotional regulation go offline. This explains why careful explanations fall on deaf ears mid-tantrum. The child literally cannot process them. Many children diagnosed with ADHD are actually experiencing hypervigilance from trauma. Their stress hormones stay chronically elevated, driving constant movement as they scan for danger. Even their pupils tell the story, unusually dilated or constricted, hearts racing even when appearing calm. Creating felt safety requires concrete strategies. Announce transitions well in advance. Use visual schedules. Share control through simple choices, red shirt or blue one. Keep language simple and follow through on every promise. Broken promises confirm their deepest fear that adults can't be trusted. For sensory-sensitive children, minimize clutter, speak quietly, eliminate strong scents. Become a detective in your own home. Watch when your child melts down, during transitions, after loud noises, when making eye contact. These patterns reveal what triggers fear, letting you respond to the real need instead of just the surface behavior. Balance affection with discipline. When exhausted, affection often disappears first. Yet compassion must lead, especially during correction. Children need daily reminders they matter, that you see their goodness while enforcing boundaries. This isn't permissiveness, it's strategic healing. Play becomes your secret weapon. Without judgment, you speak the universal language of safety. A child who won't discuss feelings might reveal everything during a pretend tea party. Even discipline can incorporate playfulness. Lighthearted redirection often works better than stern lectures. For trauma-affected children, earn eye contact gradually. Start side by side, matching your child's postures while sitting parallel. This creates attunement without face-to-face intensity. As trust builds, transition to direct eye contact that communicates love, never anger. Touch is humanity's first language. A 10 to 15 minute deep pressure massage at bedtime provides remarkable benefits. For hug-weary children, approach slowly, kneel to their level, and ask permission. Help children identify emotions using feeling charts with facial expressions. Throughout the day, ask them to point to matching faces and model this by sharing your own emotions. For children with attachment deficits, emphasize shared activities over material rewards. Wash cars together, read at bedtime, work side by side. Connection heals what isolation damaged. Traditional discipline, harsh punishments, lectures, threats, shaming, fails spectacularly with traumatized children. Research confirms authoritarian parenting produces worse behavior than nurturing approaches. Even timeouts backfire, teaching emotional disconnection to children who already struggle with attachment. These kids don't need isolation, they need connection. Effective discipline combines firmness, kindness, and retraining. Match your response to the level of defiance, playful reminders for mild sass, complete conviction for aggression. Respond quickly, clarify expectations, offer choices, present consequences, and provide immediate opportunities to redo with lavish praise for success. The redo technique is transformative. When a child acts inappropriately, guide them through correcting it in an upbeat manner. A child who slammed a door practices closing it gently 3 times with praise after each attempt. You're rewiring neural pathways through repetition, replacing muscle memory of failed behavior with successful actions. Your voice conveys crucial messages about safety and authority. High-pitched, tentative voices signal weakness to hypervigilant children, while overly loud voices trigger fight-or-flight responses. Cultivate a voice of authority, slightly increased volume, lower pitch, deliberate pacing. This signals you mean business without triggering trauma responses. 2/3 of at-risk children struggle processing verbal instructions. Give directives once in a firm voice, then pause for 5 beats. Slowing your speech rhythm helps overwhelmed brains catch up. Instead of timeouts that isolate, use time-ins, a think-it-over place near the family where an adult stays nearby while the child reflects, followed by a guided redo. Sometimes a child's improved behavior makes parents uncomfortable. As children develop healthier attachment behaviors, making eye contact, giving genuine hugs, seeking affection, parents with unresolved issues may instinctively distance themselves. Adults bring their own emotional baggage to parenting. Research shows over 70% of participants shared the same attachment style as their mother and grandmother. Insecurely attached adoptive parents struggle to help attachment-disordered children develop secure bonds without first addressing their own wounds. If you were raised in an abusive environment, you may have survived by suppressing emotions. While effective during crisis, long-term suppression creates uncomfortable phantoms that drive resentment and intolerance. People uncomfortable with feelings often excel intellectually, but struggle to connect emotionally with troubled children. Perfectionism creates unreachable standards that make everyone miserable. Examine your feelings about neediness. Are you angry when recognizing it in others? Were your childhood needs overlooked? Accepting and addressing a child's needs builds trust, while addressing your own needs reduces stress and resentment. When conventional discipline fails with troubled adopted children, understanding becomes your most powerful tool. Challenging behaviors stem from fear and survival mechanisms, not willful defiance. This perspective shift transforms you from adversary to ally. Careful observation reveals crucial patterns. Journal daily activities for a week. Which situations trigger stress? What transitions provoke meltdowns? Your child's body language tells stories they cannot articulate. Medication helps conservatively, providing roughly 30% of the solution alongside behavioral interventions. Talk therapy often fails for attachment-disordered children because attachment develops through sensory experiences, touch, voice, holding, mirroring, not lengthy discussions. Choose specialists who encourage parental participation and teach methods you can use at home. Play signals safety and becomes a powerful healing vehicle. Many families live at breakneck speed, leaving little time for meaningful connection. At-risk children need individualized, focused time to catch up developmentally and form close bonds. If you've exhausted your emotional resources, you don't need to feel love right now, but you can be kind and help your child feel safe. As security grows, love can follow. Healing attachment disorders requires patience and meeting your child where they are. Neural pathways take time to rewire, and trust grows slowly when shattered early. But research confirms at-risk children can make tremendous strides. Disruptive preschoolers become calm and affectionate. Language-delayed children suddenly speak in full sentences. Aggressive children become kind siblings. Your child's difficult beginning doesn't determine their ending. With understanding, consistency, and connection, you can help write a different story, one where safety replaces fear, trust replaces suspicion, and love finally feels real.